Okay. This meeting is opened up, a meeting of the Kootenai Fire District's Water Commissioners. It is August 16th, 2017, and 6:02. And we will start with public comment. Oh, yeah, is anyone recording here? Okay. Do we have any public comment? Okay, for those listening, we have a lot of minutes here to go over because there's two meetings.
Duck quack is better.
Yeah, but that was for money, though. They want me to work overtime.
Oh, I got that the other night, in the middle of the night. That was scary.
Are we all set with the minutes?
Yeah, I make a motion that we accept the minutes.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Both sides?
That's the minutes of 7:12, and how about the motion for the minutes of the special meeting 8, August 2nd?
I move that we accept the minutes of the special meeting of August 2nd.
Okay. Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Do we have warrants?
Yes, we do.
JR's been working hard, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the police did pretty good here, didn't they?
That was all during contract. Yep. All money that's going to be paid back through the grant.
Okay.
I got that one on. I got the
just noticed that Jen put some special notes on my agenda to remind me to announce the date and time for the minutes, and also, so I didn't see this. I didn't see the one about recording, though. Actually, the next time you put any notes, I need to make them larger.
Sign these. You have to sign your name and your title. You would be chairperson. You would be commissioner. I think at that point.
Okay.
All three. You have to sign the bottom, both pages.
Did the list get
smaller?
Just on that line above right here?
Yeah, put your name there, then who you are, then he's then just sign after you, and Tom can sign that too.
Did the list get any smaller?
Oh, yeah.
People paid some bills?
Yeah.
It's nice.
It goes to taxes, get put on the tax bill.
Yeah.
We get paid by the Taliban at that point.
Yeah.
When they pay their taxes, if they pay their taxes.
Just continue in line on
it. Yeah, just continue in line, yep.
There you go.
You assign both copies.
Yeah, the one underneath, yeah. Now water quality.
Now water quality. All right. All Colphone tests came back negative for the month. You do see that we did do, as promised, finally, I did them, the MTBE. Those are all no detects on there. We did also do, we were, every quarter we get different things that we have to do. We had to do perchlorate, and we were non-detect in all those for perchlorate. And we also did our chlorine byproducts according to the regs. And they all came back within the same levels as we had last year. Give or take a tiny bit here. I think the trihalomethanes were less, and the haloacetic acid might have been a little higher, but they average out about the same. There was a little discrepancy with where the test was taken. DEP called today, said they were informed that it was taken at the wrong location. We looked it up. It was taken at the right location, but the lab put the wrong number on it. So there has been something sent in now from the lab to be straightened out. It might take a couple of days to do it, but at least everything's heading in the right direction there.
Okay. Any questions on water quality?
You did get your results that you asked for.
I did.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Superintendent's report?
Sure. Superintendent's report. In July of 2016, might have these backwards.
I think you do.
We pumped 45,104,000. In July of 2017, we pumped 36,248,000 for a decrease of 8,856,000. We were about 3 inches less rain last year, but this has just been a continuance. Like I said, this year we're not pumping as much water. The weather's been a lot better. We had a lot of extreme heat last year that people were watering like crazy. We had one relocation service down on Newtown Road. We had two replacement services, one being the building out back behind here, and one being someplace else in town. Actually, it was over on School Street. Okay,
okay,
thank you. I didn't write it down, but I thought I'd remember after reviewing it. It was over on School Street, one of the old camps.
Yeah.
Motors. Brought up last month about the annual bid. The gentleman showed up a couple days ago, chomping at the bit to go back to work. He wants to work. His doctor gave him a note that said he could come back to work 2 days a week and not use his hands. So he said to the guy, I'd like to be a supervisor and sit in the truck on the job. And he said, no. He said, let's give it another month to see what's going on. He said, I'm not going to hire you back to be a supervisor just yet. I talked to Mike Leone. He does have another guy there who's been doing water for off and on since he's been working for the company. He just doesn't want to dedicate him away from, he does a lot of the septic work and runs a lot of the septic division. He doesn't want to dedicate him over here. I'd like to give him another month just to see. They're still working out the old contract. I'm thinking he's going to be back. Apparently he just, they don't, because of insurance reasons, he still doesn't have all the feeling back in the tips of his thumb. So they don't want him to grab something and hurt anybody by dropping it or anything like that.
So, this is my question. We sent out a requirement for this,
mm-hmm.
and there's specific items that had to be met. And only one respondent met all those conditions. And we gave the other responding party some more time to see this guy and come back to work and be ready to go to work. And now we're at a point now where I guess there's a suggestion we do another month. Is there any, we open ourselves up to any challenge by the other party for not fulfilling this contract based on the...
I have not heard anything from the other company at all.
Okay. And when it gets right down to it, only one of the responding parties meets all the requirements.
Yeah.
That we advertise and put out there.
Mm-hmm.
We have to make a decision sometime.
Yeah, and I did not give the guy a deadline. I told him a reasonable amount of time was what we had said in the statement. I guess it's a definition of a reasonable amount of time. That's all.
Well, I do believe that we picked this date for this meeting as a point in time before the next contract had to be set, which was a month longer than we needed to anyways. So my feeling is we need to make a decision unless there's any other, you know, feedback from the board. Anyone have, tell me what you think, Doug.
I'd say approach it this way, give them 1 month. That's what he's asking for, and if at the end of that month he's not back at work and he doesn't have a certificate, or somebody that replaces him that has all the certification, then let him know that we will drop him and go under contract.
Okay. Tom?
Yeah, I like that approach. I think that's reasonable. You're giving him a month, and you're telling him what's going to happen if he doesn't put someone in place that has a certification.
Yeah, there's
so
really
can pull the other guy, or he can.
The toughest thing to say is there's really no certification. It's just a matter of being in the waterworks for a certain amount of time, and it, you know, with 2 years' experience at least.
Yeah.
And right now he has guys that have been doing it for 6 months to a year, doing the job, which the guys that are laying the pipe are the ones that really, or that are there watching. They're the ones that have to know what they're doing. The guy with the machine, you know, and the rookie that's with them, they only need one guy that really knows what he's doing there, and he can tell the other guys and teach him as he's going. So there's really not a certification. There's just a matter of somebody years
experience.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll just tell them that, you know, you got to the next commissioner's meeting to give me something that says who you have and how many years experience he has in the waterworks, and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
And I'll add that not a part-time person. This is
right.
This is someone that, if we need them, they're available.
Yeah.
They're committed to being.
It's
going to
be on the crew. Yeah.
If we need them. When we're digging, they're going to be there.
Right. Okay.
Is everyone okay with that?
Yeah. I think
okay.
That makes sense.
You get a month.
Something to talk a little bit about with Vic, a little bit of property infringement over at the tank. We had some goats eating on our property over there, which they did a pretty good job. They cleared it pretty nice over there. Somebody had, it's called goatscaping. It's a good idea. I'm actually kind of considering doing it along the driveway. At the water department, where it's getting overgrown with a lot of invasive stuff, but they put the goats in there, they bend them down, and they eat everything, every leaf, every vegetation that's there. They didn't eat. Yeah, they were supposed to eat the poison ivy, but they left quite a bit there, that I noticed at least. And depending on whether they eat so much, but the people that bought the house to the immediate right of the Main Street tank site are under the impression that they own almost to the driveway. I mean, the road that goes into the tank. When they bought the house, the owners pointed over and said, "We own to them flags over there." And the guy said, "Oh, that's great." Never looked at his deed, never did anything else on it. The flags that are there are from when we had the original decommissioning report done from Weston and Sampson, and they had to do lead testing in the dirt to make sure there was no lead in the dirt. So they had marked each spot to go out. Besides the goats, there's a shed that's been built basically on the property. My question is, what would you like me to send him a note, leave it alone? How do you want me to approach this? And two was brought up between Vic and I, you know, it might be a good idea to start looking at all the property lines. Getting a price to mark the back property lines. I do notice there's some stuff over on Mariner Circle that's growing back into the property. Not every house, but there is a couple. One of them over there, it looks like a bunch of asphalt shingles to me that are going, and that's concerning to me, with a pile of asphalt shingles. That's toxic, if you ask me.
Is there one with a camper?
Yeah, I believe there's one over there. So it would take somebody to get in there and give us a price, though, to mark every so many feet.
Empty oil pan.
Yeah. anything like that, so we can at least send out, and if he notices which properties are encroaching on us, we can send out letters saying we've noticed this. Please bring your stuff back. I want to remind you where you are.
So we already have a certified plot plan of lot.
Yes. We have a town layout. Yeah. Yep.
Yes. So to mark areas won't be that extensive, will it?
I don't think so.
The last time I had something that we needed some bounds marked, they marked a corner bound for me and so many feet back for a road layout, and it cost me $300. So I don't know how much it would cost to have a surveyor come in and mark all that. Some of it might already be done. I mean, we've got a lot of people in there, you know, between Tower North, between before that with Chris Hesse when he was in there. There was a lot of surveyors going around in each area. So I don't know what's still in there, what isn't. There's just flags everywhere.
Okay, so let's start with the approach pit by the Main Street fence. Any shed needs to have a building permit. To have a building permit, you need to have some sort of plot plan to make sure you're within the bounds of your property. My guess is there's no building permit. Inform Tom, the building department, and see if there's anything they can do about it.
Yeah. There's a size requirement for those building permits.
Yeah, you get a permit no matter what the size is, but some of them don't require sonotubes. You know, if it's under 100 square feet, you just put it on blocks, but you still have to get a permit. And you have to locate, you have to put where you're going to have it on your property.
It's been there for a while.
The shed?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been there I'd say a year or so, maybe more. I didn't notice it was there until Russ brought it to my attention. But I wasn't looking for it either. So, I mean,
we have no control of what's in it.
Right.
Exactly. We have to worry about it. So it shouldn't be there. I'd like to see if we push the building department to see if they can give us any information. If it's not, no permit on it, we need to remove it.
Okay.
And I think the building department can do that. I actually know the new building inspector. I had to give him a call. Bruce Burns.
Huh? Do you know him?
Oh, yeah. He was on the call department in the fire department.
Oh. I knew the old building inspector. I want him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think in addition to that, you probably need to send a notice that they are infringing on.
Yeah. A letter should be written to the property owners.
All right.
I think from the property boundaries, just talking to the surveyors in Vermont, they may be able to, looking at the district maps and the GIS, and you know, the
yep.
most recent aerial imagery, be able to tell us, you know, where there is infringements or not.
Okay.
Without spending a lot of money, but I think we need to have a conversation with the surveyors and see what the costs are and what they can do.
Doesn't the town have an engineering department?
All they do is
do surveying all the time.
Yeah. You know, if you go to the town engineering website, they say right on it, you know, this is not, you know, your lines might not be where they should be.
Sure.
Because they're just basically trying to match up what they have with GIS and
right.
pictures and everything else. It might be a little off, but I have, when they did, I believe the, I think it was with the tank. They put somebody went out there and marked both one of the edge there, and there's a bound inside, and I went 60 feet from that bound, and it brought me just to the guy's driveway, just to the other side of his driveway. His driveway's on the line, going in. So anything on the left of his driveway is on our property. And he just doesn't know it.
Right.
Or either that or he did a really, really good job. It was him and his wife and his three kids sitting there talking to me. He's like, you know, oh, I've been wanting to stop by and talk to you guys. You know, you guys are great, you know, da, da, da. Introduced myself and, you know, he seemed to be a really nice guy. And I almost think if I walked up to him and just said, you know, I went to a meeting last night. They say you got to get everything out of there. He might just move everything out.
Okay.
So we'll see how it goes. You know, I mean, if you want me to approach it this way, I'll do it that way and everything else. But it's just, I think the letter from us first might even just get him to move everything.
Yeah. I've found in writing letters for my job, if I write a letter with all the options, say, you know, we believe it's on our property, we contact the building department, there's no permit issue for this, that would show where it is. We'd like you to move it to the document it is, and then you'll glean from that
yeah.
We have to do something.
Okay. Sounds good.
And I think we need to take a closer look at all the other properties as well.
Yeah, and it just opens our eyes to more
right. Stuff
out there that's different. And there's a lot of areas. I mean,
right. We
got a lot of property out there. I mean, if we could just start over with the big one and head down to all of them, each one of them eventually, you know, and look into it. This is just a little information for you guys just to keep you aware. We had, there's going to be some line clearing going on from Eversource. It's supposed to be just over in Station 5, but if you see a tree company anywhere near the well field going in, they're clearing lines for the electric company right now for Eversource. So if you get a phone call or something like that, or you hear something running, you'll understand why
yeah. And
everything. The last...
Is there anyone else in town that might get a call about that? I mean, would the council get a call? Would the fire department get a call? Would someone else in town get a call concerned about something being done in the property?
I don't believe so. I believe that we would definitely be the one getting called. Okay. What's that?
They wouldn't notify the police.
No. No. I don't think they would notify anybody else. The last thing I have on here is we've been talking about the payroll.
Oh, yeah.
And I brought it up just to see what we could do. I have some stuff here that everybody, I think, has a little packet on. I don't know if... Tom and Vic, I know what's going on here.
I saw it.
You were a little bit up on it.
Yeah.
There seems to be a little discrepancy in the raises that were given this year. We've talked to the treasurer a couple times about this. There's some backup for it here. Last year seemed to be a year where they had to add an extra day. I don't know exactly why, whether it was leap year from the year before and everything else, but it seems that the payroll that went in that was signed from the warrant that's in here, we're not getting paid by the warrant here, we're getting paid by a figure that the treasurer has come up with. So.
I can tell you I've had a number of discussions with both Fran and Ray
yep. About
this and trying to find out, you know, what we can do to get this thing rectified in the rear view mirror.
Right.
We were into it from now on to the middle of August.
Right.
So we're 6 weeks into the fiscal year.
Ray has kind of backed himself, I will say, away from this a little bit. Jen had asked if we could settle this with him. His answer to her basically, and it's all been cordial, no one's or anything here. He said the pay issue has to be resolved on the commissioner's level first. Prudential Committee has said that they what they want, and so the Water Commissioners have to make a case with the Prudential Committee. I have to take my direction from the Prudential Committee. So he said that the Prudential Committee has talked about it, and they told him, no, don't give them what they're talking about. Just do what you have to do here. So I don't know how that goes from there. That's something you guys are going to have. So this is just a little bit of the back information. Jen can help you with this a lot better because she's the one who came with the figures originally. I can certainly tell you, as just me here, I'm a salary person. I get paid salary. If you take my salary and put 3% to it, I'm not getting paid that right now. I'm getting paid under that. They took a weekly salary of me and times the times 52 and paid me. It's not a lot of money. I think it comes out to less than $10 a week. But
we need to establish what a 3% raise is based on.
Correct.
As it has been in the past. I believe we have records for this past year, how the raise has been implemented.
We have it on. I listened to it. Last year, you guys sat down in a meeting, gave Jen a 5 to 6, you said. You were talking amongst each other. Myself a 4, and the rest of the gentlemen a 3. You came up with some figures and said, make Jen, you said, I've done some figures here, figured it out. Jen goes to 46,000. Chris goes to, you said, 90,637, which we had 90,500 if you did 3% to what we were getting paid then. And the rest, you said, just give the 3% to the rest of the guys.
Okay.
As it goes.
We didn't give a percentage on that?
You called it 4%, 5%, and 3%.
Okay. So the percentages are what we have to go by, I believe.
Okay.
Is that what?
Yeah.
So we do have a member of the Prudential Committee here.
The two.
Do we have any input or no? Right. When's your next meeting?
It's usually the one with the big numbers on it, right?
It's okay with the board in that meeting, and anyone else? When Chris, you want to go? Jen, you want to go? You can all attend that if you can't work it out.
Okay.
But we have to make sure we stand by. The district voted on a 3% raise.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
3% for the staff.
Everyone.
Yeah. 3%
yeah,
for everyone.
I was just talking about the past year that we had done the year before.
Yeah.
This year there was a 3% raise that was put in.
Okay.
So
the past year was the 4, 3, 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this
year
it's 3.
Right.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right.
Pardon?
If you want to.
Would you like, yeah.
No. I just wanted to.
So in your packet, there is the very first page is the warrant from the annual meeting, as it was written, Article 10, recommended by the Water Commissioners, that states, $314,942 for labor and salaries of the water department.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the total dollar amount that was voted on by the district for salaries. Also in that packet, you have the budget that was handed out by the Water Department at both the Civic Association meeting and the annual meeting that supports that $314,942 with the starting point of fiscal year 17, $90,500 for the superintendent and $46,000 for the office manager. The year before, fiscal year 17, if you listen to the minutes from the March 17th meeting, about 1 hour into the meeting, the discussion of salaries starts, where it's recommended a 4% increase for Chris, 5 to 6% for Jen, and 3% for the other operators. At 1 hour and 11 minutes in, there's an actual calculation made that says a 4% increase for the office manager would bring her to $46,000, so it was set as an annual salary, as well as for the superintendent. And then it was recommended and agreed on by the entire Board of Water Commissioners somewhere around an hour and 14 minutes into the meeting. The next page is the budget book. Sure.
Does the total of $46,000 reflect the 4% raise?
5% for the office manager, 4% for the... Correct. Yep. Correct. So the next page is the budget book that was handed out by the treasurer at the Civic Association meeting as well as the annual meeting. It also lists in there the fiscal year 17 budget of $90,500 for the superintendent, fiscal year 18 proposed of $93,215, changed this year, 3%, and it is strictly a 3% increase, no more, no less. Same thing for the office manager, the fiscal year 17 budgeted amount, the fiscal year 18 proposed amount, a 3% increase. The following page is the warrant that was signed in May for the June payroll, showing the superintendent's salary as well as the office manager's salary that was signed by the commissioners. Same thing on July 1st. The warrant for the new fiscal year increase with the weekly rate as calculated. And the way we calculated that, if you continue on to the next page, is there's copies of Chris's paychecks from fiscal year 17 and 18, as well as the office manager paycheck for fiscal year 17 and 18. So because in fiscal year 17, Friday, July 1st, was the new day of the fiscal year, the beginning of the new fiscal year, we were issued paychecks for 4 days at the fiscal year 16 rate and 1 day at the fiscal year 17 rate. So in order to calculate that 1 day rate, we took the annualized payroll, in Chris's case, $90,500, divided it by 52 weeks, figured out what 1 day was, subtracted that out, and divided the remainder by 52 weeks. So we were paid for 1 day plus 52 weeks to total $90,000. $499.14, close enough to the $90,500. So that's how it was calculated, 1 day plus 52 weeks. So that reduces the weekly rate by that 1 day annualized. So when the treasurer and assistant treasurer calculated payroll for fiscal year 18 and awarded the 3% increase, they took the weekly rate and multiplied by 3%, not an annualized rate. And that works for the hourly associates, for the senior operator, and for the field operators, but not when the salary was annualized like it was for Chris and I in fiscal year 17. So those are the calculations on the paycheck pages that you see there. It's the 52 weeks plus 1 year. In fiscal year 18, there is a straight 52-week payroll. There isn't that extra day. So then it would take the fiscal year 17 amount, annualized, times 3%, divided by 52 weeks. And that's how I came up with the number for the warrant. Any other questions? It's pretty black and white.
Good work.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions?
No, I do have a question. So this is what it should be, but how did we come up with a figure with what it currently is? How did that number appear?
How it currently is what we're getting paid or what we're supposed to be getting paid?
Yeah, I mean, this is how we should have figured 3%, but how did we actually figure?
That is how we actually did it. So we started with the fiscal year, at the end of fiscal year 16, when you were setting the fiscal year 17 budget, you said a 4% increase or 5% increase will raise the office manager to 46,000. It will raise the superintendent to 90,500. So that was the starting amount. We took that amount and multiplied it by 3%, and that's exactly what was handed out at the Civic Association's annual meeting and voted on by the district and the Board of Water Commissioners.
I got it.
So
are
that's
you,
what it's
are you asking how the difference in pay?
Yeah, essentially.
Basically, I believe what happened was there was a couple communications where between Tony and Jen, who's the assistant treasurer, or assistant to the treasurer, and she says, I don't get the same figures you do. And Jen tried to explain it to her how she had it, and she said, I don't see it that way. That's not the way I've done it in the past. That's not the way I can do it. I was taught to do it a different way. Just take your hourly rate and times it times 52 and put 3% to it. So she went ahead and said, I'm just going to pay you the way I have it. If it has to be adjusted later, it will. And that's how Ray went about it and said, okay, we can adjust it later if it happens. He talked to Fran and Don at different times, I believe, and they said just keep going until everything can be done. Pay them the way you're paying them. I don't know with the warrant that they're not paying to the warrant.
So it's just
they're adjusting the
3% was calculated. What it was applying.
They're
to
calculating the 50.
Yeah.
They're going off of their they're paying us off of their calculations, not the calculations we have.
Yeah. I see.
Yeah.
So do we need a motion on this? Cause, I mean, I'd like to make a motion that we ask the Prudential Committee to pay the superintendent and the office manager consistent with the warrant that was passed, and that they make that retroactive.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessary because they're obligated by the vote that we made to pay 3%. It's just we need to meet with the branch committee, if you will, August 28th. Jen can be there, Chris can be there, and I'm sure the treasurer's going to be there, and we can work out why things are the way they are now and what we need to get the way it has been in the past and continue forward. There's a reason why there's a discrepancy here, and we need to be all on the same page. So we're talking about apples and apples, not apples and oranges. But we voted, the district voted the 3% raise.
All right.
So we don't need a motion to continue to,
Yeah.
It will be 3%. Okay, Jeff? That was a longer report than normal.
Sure. And it's concluded.
All right. You sure?
Okay. Under old business, we have Jack Carcus from Berea here. And he's going to tell us what's going on.
Good evening, the board. Good to see everybody. For the record, Zach Farkas, Borrego Solar. I believe you guys spoke at your last meeting. Now that most of the hot weather is behind us, we're ready to get back onto the site, clean up some of the disturbance that occurred in the late spring of this year. And I guess I wanted the board's permission to move forward with putting together a formal site plan, which would show essentially what it looks like to what it's going to look like, and hire the subcontractor and our project manager to complete that work and coordinate either directly with Chris or Jen or you guys offline to get the work done probably in early September.
Okay, I think that's what we want you to do. I know Vic wants to walk. If you have time, then Vic can be available to walk through with you.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think our plan is to generate our site plan, our kind of theoretical plan of what we're going to do, walk the site with the selected landscape manager, and we'll have a representative from the board or from the department to join us just to make sure you guys are getting exactly what you want.
Okay.
That's agreeable. So we'll have a site plan before we walk it.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
All right. Any other questions?
It was a long trip.
Nice trip. Good drive. Get to go over the bridge. You can't complain.
Oh, that sounds good.
Well, thank you, Jack.
Get going.
Advise Chris when you're going to be ready for that. And then congratulations on the baby girl.
Thank you very much.
How quickly do you think you'll get the preliminary plan done?
We work with our
landscape. I keep forgetting this gentleman's title. Person who knows what bushes and trees to put out there. So we have his memo and his plan, his theoretical kind of on paper plan, a paragraph prose type plan. So we need to translate that into place this tree here, that tree there, remove that dead tree, you know, chip, stump, remove that type of thing. So that'll be converted to a plan, I'd say in 2 to 3 weeks, probably by the end of this month. And then we'll look to set up the site walk with the selected bidder on early September, and then get that work done mid-late September.
Okay.
So 2 to 3 weeks from now, go out and do the walkthrough, and then try to get somebody in there within a week or so to get it done by December.
Yeah, we want to, I mean, play with the timing a little bit to make sure the stuff that we're planning is has the highest chance of taking and flourishing back there. So that's one of the big reasons we've just kind of, you know, kicked the can down the road a bit here, because nobody's going to do anything in June and July down here. So with the fall season, that's what we're targeting.
Would that plan include some kind of follow-up to make sure the plants that are put in live, I mean, watering or?
Yeah, traditionally when we hire a landscape firm, there's almost a performance guarantee with that, where they'll come back, and if plants die, they're obligated to replace them within a certain time frame. I don't know what that time frame is, but it's not plant them, leave them, see ya. There's definitely some follow-up there.
If you want that.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Zach.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much, Zach.
Thanks, Jim.
Russ Cleveland couldn't make the meeting. Thank you. We have a report here somewhere.
Yeah, I got a little bit of an email here. Just kind of gets everybody caught up a little bit. The tank project, a little bit behind that. There's a $10,000 invoice. When they put the delay in from taking down, they were supposed to pay BISCO $10,000 for the delay charge, because they had the destruction company or the demolition company coming. So they had to reschedule, and they canceled a couple things and charged BISCO, so they're getting paid back.
And it's being paid by T-Mobile?
Right. Mark Boudreau is handling that now through the lawyers. USDA, there's about $35,000 left there for reimbursements, $516. I think we've done 4 reimbursements so far. Once they're sent in, we send it over to they're pretty good and pretty quick lately, because everything's getting sent electronically. We send it over to Ray, let him know it's coming, and everything goes great in that. Fiber optic, it has been done. All that's in the ground basically is in the ground. They have to set a pole over by the old tank site, and they have to run some fiber down Falmouth Road. They can't do that till after the season. By law, they can't work on 28 till after summer. So they said they should be done with that pretty soon. They're just waiting for summer to be over. Let's see, security, he hasn't got any kind of report back yet. He should have that soon. Bert, the cell tower, he did sign on reassignment. It's at our lawyers. He's looked at it, has asked some questions of Tower North as to whether they will, if they could send some verification on who financials and stuff like that on it. If there's going to be any adjustments to make sure the companies can pay us and who's competent, who their competent people are and everything.
Okay.
That's pretty much all that he has on here. He goes on a little, what's there? There is some other stuff in here that backs all that he talked about. There's the last report, the fourth. That tells how much with the grant and there and everything.
Okay. So Bert wants some information for Centerline concerning the financials. And what is the next step for Centerline besides that?
To put in their, once they get everything set, they can go to the planning board,
okay,
of the building department, set this up. We just had something here with the planning department, I believe. I mean, the building department. 811, application for a site plan review. Yeah, just turned in.
Okay.
So things are at least getting on and moving.
But they haven't set a date for that?
No.
Okay.
Not that I know of. But I will find out.
So Vic, we have an update on the position description.
We do. This is the last installment. It should be in your packet. There's a superintendent's PD in there, and your homework is to read this over, make any comments, additions, deletions, corrections. Chris and Jen have both worked on this. I think once we have all the PDs now, I think the next step is to identify the critical elements that we will use for evaluation. And I think we need to limit the number of critical elements that we will use for evaluation. And I don't know what magic number that is, whether it's 3 or 5 or 20, but I think you have to keep it reasonable. But I think the last step is for you all to read this over, make sure you agree with it. I think you have the other two position descriptions.
Yes.
And then go through them carefully and identify key elements that the employees would be evaluated on.
Yeah, and we need to make sure we set up a formal evaluation of all the superintendent,
yeah,
the guys in the line, and the,
yeah,
office manager.
Yeah.
So we have a record of that. It's important to have a record of the self-evaluation.
I think once we have the elements, we can build a written evaluation system, and whether we want to go, field, adequate, skill, or whether you want a wider spread in the elements, but we can build an evaluation system built based on those key elements.
Okay. So we want elements for next meeting?
Yes. Yeah.
All
yeah.
These will be marked up by us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and if you have some edits here, send them to me directly. If you can put them on paper, or this is a Word file that Jen has, so you can, if you do it on track changes, that'd be nice. But if you can't, just put them on paper and we'll get them done.
Okay. Thank you. The next thing has to do with our short-term goals and water rate survey of the next steps. So we had a meeting August 2nd or something like that, and all the members of the water commissioners and the prudential committee were there, along with the treasurer for the district and superintendent from the Sandwich Water Department and Vice President Tatum Howard and Chris DeGemba. Does that cover everybody?
Yes.
Okay. And the idea was it's like an ad hoc meeting where we can workshop to get this process started. It wasn't meant to make any decisions, and no decisions were made. That's why we come back here to the top in our meeting right here. I did meet with a member of the financial committee and the treasurer this last Monday, and we try to work on coming up with the scope of work that we want to have accomplished by a study. There are some ideas and plans, and
just some notes, some of the bullet points for the scope of study. They include current rate, water rate structure, current historical water revenue, current and forecasted system demands, current historical billing and accounting records, current debt, current retained earning balance, planned capital improvements, current forecasted operations and maintenance costs, so these are just, they're not set in stone, some of the basic guidelines we want to go under. We talked about what it is we want to accomplish with this. I think we come to a consensus. I mean, we right now we cover our operational expenses. I think the goal, from my perspective, and I know we've talked about it at this board, is to try to include the expenses of the health insurance and the retirement expenses with our water rate revenue. As far as the capital expenses, part of this cost of service study can determine what portion is used for fire safety, like how much water is set aside for fire, you know, the hydrants, all that stuff, which we believe should be covered by a tax base. So all the people, even the ones that aren't using our water, not paying us any water to water bill, has there some of the responsibility for covering that cost. So until we get this thing going and get some results back, we won't really know what we can cover and what we can't. I believe we're on the same page as far as what we want to try to accomplish. Now, as far as putting together this proposal, I'm not qualified to do that. I just sat there and bumped things around, and the only person that we all knew there that had done this in the past was what's Mike's last name? Mike Daly. And Fran was going to ask him to put together something that we could use to put out there for bidders to a proposal.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see, we're going to look at this before it goes out. But to do it the right way, someone has to know, you know, what they're doing. I know that the Financial Committee has the warrant and the money, that they're the ones that drive this. I want us to be out in front with it and be part of it, because we all work for the same people here. We're all on the same team. So I think by initiating this, we can all come together with something that we have equal input to, and do something that we can be proud of at the end, and we can give to the people of the district in a way that they will understand it and can make an informed decision of why things are changing, if they're going to change at all. So, do you have any questions?
Have we talked to Mike at all to see if he's willing to help with the RFP?
He's what exactly is his position here? He's a consultant for the district.
What are we thinking on a timeline?
Well, I think their meeting is the 28th, and Fran was going to approach him before that, I'm sure. And I don't have a timeline. And it won't take long to put this together. One of the reasons we started this now is we don't want time to be an issue where it'll be too late in the year for us to come up with a change.
Right.
We want to be in front of this and have it done in a timely fashion so that it's not rushed at the very end. Give people plenty of time to hear it. We can make a presentation to the Civic Association. We can put out anytime anything we need to. To let everyone know what's going on. So, there's a sense of urgency to get it done. but I can't give you a timeline. Any other questions?
Stan Goldstein, Prudential Committee. On the 2nd of August meeting, I call him the contractor sitting next to Chris. One of the things he talked about was doing a survey, an inventory of the plant, physical plant, where everything's laid out and stuff, and get everything documented and get it on the GIS before, you know, you guys leave and or people leave and all that knowledge goes away, which is going to be about fairly expensive thing, but I'm wondering if you were considering that maybe in a second phase of the project.
So that's the efficiency survey that he was talking about?
This was
where you look at the existing system and you kind of figure out where you would expect to have problems and what it's going to cost.
Oh, you're talking like the...
Yeah, where the pipes are, where
right.
the hydrants are, where the physical plant is,
yep.
you know, laid out so that you know exactly when you get when something breaks or you got to... 50 years from now, they want to dig it up, they know where it is.
Right, okay. I did talk to Patrick a little bit about that, price-wise. That seemed to be more to do that report right now than even what we had put out at district meeting. So it was the upper of 25 to do that between all the work behind it.
Okay. Chris and I talked about that a little bit
yeah.
one day. And for what it's worth, not only is that expensive, but we talked in our last meeting about, you know, being prepared if something happened to Chris. You know,
yep.
So that we knew what kind of shape the water district was in. And those records are there
yeah.
in the water department.
Yeah.
It just takes time, someone's time, to dig those out, you know, and put that into a GIS or other system database so that we can, one, project upcoming need to improve water mains or whatever else, and two, to determine, you know, what our investment would be if we had to or needed to. Anyway, I think this is, it actually feeds into that discussion that you brought up, Don, where you know, we need to be prepared in case something happened to Chris and we didn't have his knowledge and expertise.
Yeah, I do believe that I know there are anything that was put on the ground, those records are there. And I know when I worked in the water department in Daytona Beach, there was always an old timer that walked around in an old pickup truck that wore mirror sunglasses and walked over and said, it's right about there, go down 2 feet. But they also, now they have the meters.
Magic wands.
The magic wands to pick up the pipes on the ground. And that's part of what the contractor would do. They have to dig it up, whether it's Porto Lodi or Roderick or
yep.
whatever.
But I think the standpoint, that, I mean, that to me is over and above this initial thing, and that should be a phase two of the project or something that we do future years.
Just, you know, one of the things we talked about as far as capital, covering capital expenses with water rates, was the possibility of establishing a line item, a yearly line item with a figure to it for maintenance of the water system. That we can plan out every year, because it's important to put back into the system every year, so you don't have, if you don't, if you can't let the system just not be maintained for a period of time, then all of a sudden hit the storm and we need to have big numbers to fix it. If we can maintain a regular yearly dollar figure to continue on with the maintenance, we can have a plan and attack the things that are the oldest that might be the most likely to fail and give us problems. That would be an easier way, and let that maybe be covered by our rates. And the exceptional expenditures like painting a tank and cleaning it, would be more of a capital expense that goes to district meeting and gets voted on and covered by the tax base. But that's one of the possibilities. And we talked a lot about different ways to get this done, but really it's all just talk until we come up with the cost of service and the water rate possibilities. You know, we need to stop.
Hope not. Let's go on.
Okay. So, there's still more questions than our answers, but again, getting the inertia going here, getting this ball rolling down the hill. I think we're making progress, and I hope that maybe at this meeting on the 28th, that Mike might have some stuff for us to go on. Any other questions about this? That's all I have for old business. Unless anyone could think of anything we didn't bring up. Okay, new business. I don't have a copy for you guys, but after our last meeting and after the meeting we had, the presentation at the Civic Association, the next day it was brought to my attention that there was an amendment going before town council that was going to change the zoning ordinance. And I didn't know much, I didn't at first heard of it, I didn't know anything about it. I went to the meeting because it affects any land clearing in ground mounted solar photovoltaic overlay district. So the limitations that this changed is it limits the amount of land that can be cleared. Within the well, within a well field, and also the outer boundary from zone one. It basically makes it restricted to the point where you couldn't do anything. And not that I expected anything will ever be done, I just wanted to find out more of what's going on. So I went to the meeting. There wasn't really any discussion about it because all it was a vote that had to go to the planning board. I did say a little something during the open discussion when the meeting started, and basically had questions. So I went to the meeting, it was last Monday night, a couple nights ago. Spoke there with a number of other residents from the district were there. They were all in support of it. I still raised the question because I think it was my opinion that the council has a way in place right now to prevent anything that they didn't think was going to be good within the well field. They have a mechanism to not change the overlay district for these, because they use it and it works. This right here prevents it from ever being going forward in the future, and without even knowing what the future brings us, I just thought it was a bit of an overkill. It prevented us from having any options, anyone having any options, and without anyone really knowing about it. I don't know if the other water districts have been aware about this. I know no one in the town, we didn't know about it. So I thought it was important that take a breath. But it passed the planning board Monday night, 6-1. It's going to be going before the town council this Thursday for a vote. I fully expect it to pass.
When's the town council meeting?
It's Thursday, I believe it's 7 o'clock. Yeah. So I expect it's probably going to move forward. I'm sure there'll be people there to support it. And I'll tell you this. Nothing that anyone said in support of it is anything I could disagree with. Because they have concerns, and they're real concerns, and I understand them. I just believe that the mechanism they have in place already works, and this is just I think this is just a statement and a bit of an overkill thing, but it seems like it's going to go through.
Would this impact the cell tower?
No, they couldn't clear any more than 2 acres.
Oh, okay.
Respond, it couldn't be, like, you couldn't get a piece of land and then have a road and then have a piece of land. So it would make it more than 2 acres. So it was kind of restricted in a couple of ways, and it was done for a purpose. And that's what it is. So I don't know if anyone had any questions about it. I didn't know if we needed to make a statement as a board. I'd just like to hear if you want to read it for a second. I'd like them to have an idea of what it is, and then, because you can explain something, they don't really don't have a reference to it. But I did plan on letting you have something to say about it.
Exactly what some of the things in here mean. 800 feet from the outer boundary of zone 1, or is that 800 feet in total?
No, that'd be, there's a 400 foot radius now, it's a zone 1. It would be increased twice that.
400 feet.
Another 800 feet outside of that, so it, yeah, so it would be 1200 feet completely around the wellhead. It's only for what they call large scale. Anything under, I believe it's... I've been a little confused because I've seen the college, I've seen the senior center. There's a couple places there where they have these set up, but they're not of a larger... They're saying those aren't the large variety. So that doesn't... They're small enough. I think they cleared less than 2 acres of land or less than 1 acre. I'm not positive what the rule is right now, but it's underneath the acreage that would have to be considered a large.
But also there's a difference between areas that have no vegetation on them at all.
Right.
So nothing has to be cleared.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. But the one over at the college did clear quite a bit of woods over there when they put that in, because they used to have woods all the way up to 132. But it was underneath the level that is allowed.
Considered not a large
scale. Correct,
field.
Correct.
I'm more educated about this than I ever wanted to be.
I agree with you, Don. I see the purpose behind it, but I think it's unnecessary because it's already covered by within the town council. So. And I'm not sure if some of the wording in it, you know,
so this passed the planning board, and now it's going to town council?
Yeah, for a final ratification, I believe. So, Jessica, if you'd like to come up and...
Thank you, Jessica Rapp-Presetti. And I am the maker of that amendment. And just for the record, this does not pertain to any land currently owned by the Kootuat Fire District. And the spirit of a GEM spot, which is the ground-mounted solar photovoltaic overlay district, was to address large-scale projects, as Superintendent Wiseman said. And it's okay, and for the GEMS fund, when it was created, it was created to overlay on the airport, where the land was already cleared, to overlay on the landfill. And in that landfill, that overlay district is also the stump dump, which has they can proceed with, and they are going to be putting a solar farm there. But to use that kind of zoning on forested land is why I made amendments to it, because the previous application by the water department through Borrego to place the farm right on our zone one and to clear on our zone one, I think was poor management and poor planning. And obviously the council withdrew the item. I don't think it should have ever gotten to the council in the first place, and that would prevent something like that.
Just you said that part of that solar field would have been in zone one?
Yes.
I don't believe that any of that solar field impacted any of the zone one well sites.
I beg to differ. As you drive in Sampson's Mill, part of that facility was placed right near a station, right to the left. I mean, the maps that I saw showed it in zone one, but I don't want to revisit that land. What this is to prevent solar companies like Borrego from targeting water district lands that are forested. I don't have any problem with lands that are already cleared, but this is only clear cutting. This isn't on lands that are already denuded of trees. This is to prevent clear cutting. And that previous plan had a whole lot of clear cutting.
A little more than 30 acres.
Yeah. So that's the spirit of it.
Okay.
We did have the DEP did come down and evaluate it, just for the record.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they said there was no hazard to the water of the district, but going forward with the project. And I know that was one of the reasons used by a lot of people that we would endanger our natural resource. So we can have different opinions on it, but it is, to me, it's been settled.
Yeah, it's been
over with, and absolutely. I really don't see anything ever going forward again. My concern, if you were able to make, I don't know what your plans were, but you weren't there Monday night, was I don't have a crystal ball for the future. I don't know what may be up there 25 years from now, but things may be different, and there may be an outcry from the people in this district that want to do something like that. And we may have something that won't affect our water supply at all, and they won't have an option to do that anymore.
No, wait a minute. That's only if you want to impose a solar overlay district. I don't think this addresses, if you wanted to clear cut 30 acres of land to put up 10 pumping stations, this would have nothing to say about it. So just to be clear about that.
It is a solar voltaic overlay.
Absolutely. And as I said, your lands don't fall there. You did mention the other districts. I believe in the workshop with planning board, feedback was given by COM that they were proposing to do a large solar array, and they pulled back
yeah.
because of their ratepayers. And Hyannis and Barnstable the same. They already had it.
Isn't Hyannis Water District kind of run by the town?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's owned by the town.
It's run by the planning board.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
by all of
highly,
us.
Yes.
It's owned by all of us.
Yeah. And then Barnstable, within Barnstable, they do have solar fields, but it's not in the well field over there.
No, but it's also on land that was already cleared. They didn't.
Well, the
airport.
Yeah.
Oh, the college is not in a GEM spot.
Okay.
And neither is the senior center.
Yeah. So again, my opposition clearly was that there already is a mechanism to deal with it.
And this just leaves any options for the future after I'm gone of people that might have changed their mind or there's something else that comes up that I can't foresee. That's all.
Yeah. What had me concerned was, and zoning, you know, it's there to be abided by, but it's also, it changes and it's amended frequently. But what I was concerned was when this was drafted, there was no speak of clear cutting whatsoever, and land clearing, and I think it should be in the zoning. So
the other thing I think this thing does is puts any private land that is within 1,200 feet of one of our well sites under less restriction than our property that's town.
As I said, this has got nothing to do with private lands. It's only land
within a
gen 5.
Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying. Somebody that has private land within 800 feet of one of our well sites can clear 2 acres or 5 acres, but we can't. So it sets up a disparity between private and public land that doesn't make any sense. I mean,
I'm not sure if you're comparing the two properly, though, Vic. I think with your lands, as I said, you could do whatever you want right on top of your well right now. You just can't, if this goes forward, you just can't clear cut more than 2 acres if you choose to overlay gem spot on top of your property.
Yeah, I understand.
That's all.
That.
So.
Yeah.
So besides having a mechanism already, the other thing that concerned me was that we would never, I mean, if someone didn't read all 46 pages of that particular meeting's agenda to find this at the very end, and let me know. I never would have known about it.
Well,
so
as I said, this doesn't pertain to your land.
It pertains
it
to
does
the water district.
The only way it does is because it's a public drinking well. But it doesn't pertain to the way your property is zoned. But so it's just semantics, but you know, and the board did have an opportunity because it was first read into the council on July 24th. The board did have an opportunity to meet and discuss the issue. You could have brought it up at your August 2nd special meeting. I'm just saying there was an opportunity.
A special meeting that was advertised for one purpose could not be brought up. We did not, and we didn't even know about it the day after. So again, I think the process of any of the water departments in the district, I don't think anyone has been advised about this. And that is...
Well, as I say, too, I will say to that, zoning doesn't require any kind of notification, as was the case when the district was applying for gem spot overlay. There was no abutter notification. The only notification that was required was notification of a posted meeting, the requirement there. So
I understand that, but I also know that we had 19 advertised meetings. People complained that they didn't know about it. And at the district meeting, we made a very impassioned plea about the importance of the public having an opportunity to vote on things, which means they had an opportunity to know about it. And I agree with you. So it just seemed contrary to the spirit that you expressed to the action that you took.
Well, I'm sorry you felt that way.
Yeah. Next, you have a question?
Indicates 4782 Falmouth Road. It comes as no surprise to me that Jessica Grissetti is the maker of this amendment, and I quote, it would prevent companies like Borrego from approaching water company landowners to build for mutual benefit. So I feel that this is something that has been blindsided. I think that Vic's point of the disparity between private and public land, and like I said, I'm not at all surprised that this was an attempt to slam the door, and I think that's all I have to say. in a meeting that's being taped.
Okay. Any further comments or questions? So that meeting is Thursday night at 7 o'clock. I do expect it to pass. And a lot of people from the village here attended the last meeting. I'm sure there's a lot of people from the village will be at this meeting in full support of it.
Do the other water companies have any representation at the last meeting?
No, I don't think, I have no idea if any of the other water companies even know about it. So, that will be that. Do you have any other new business?
No.
Okay. Do you want to set the next meeting?
I would like to. For some reason, I cannot find my calendar.
Pardon me?
What they... Third Wednesday of September is the 20th. What was the planning board meeting you said?
The planning board meeting?
Yeah.
For?
The next meeting you said for town council.
This Thursday.
Yeah, September 20th is the third Wednesday.
That's good for me. That's before I go away on my golf trips.
Can everybody make September 20th?
Yep.
Oh, one question. I did mention the last meeting if we wanted to consider any different time for having this meeting, and it won't, time of day won't affect me anymore. Is there any thoughts to that from the public or for anyone else? Is this a good time for everybody? Okay, it's a positive then.
Were you thinking of making it later, like 6:30?
Actually,
we could get the more some more attendees.
I just wanted to leave it open.
No, I don't like her.
I just wanted to leave it open.
I don't get out of work usually till 5.
Pardon?
I usually don't get out of work till 5. At the earliest.
I just wanted to open it up for consideration because I know the time was set to account for my work. And now that it's not an issue anymore, just want to see if anyone wants anything different they want to do.
Vic, the 20th okay with you?
20th's okay with me. Yeah. Yeah, and the time's okay with me. I can go later, but I'm not too much later. You know, some of our meetings have gone long when you're in the 9 o'clock at night.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. 6.
All right. 6 o'clock it is. Okay. Do you have a motion to close the meeting?
I'll make a motion to close the meeting.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.